find squeamish people that are going to freak out behind the gore stuff.
Right.
And that's, you know, the more terrifying stuff is all...
cerebral.
It's cerebral, exactly. And the gore just totally skips that and just goes straight to shock.
Well, let's get into it. Welcome to the second episode of the new and improved revamped Scary Dad podcast. I'm host number one, Scary Dad himself, Billy Stewart, and
Scary Dad number two, Scott Fontenot, here with you.
And we're gonna kick back. We're sampling a little bit of the the nectar that I created for Halloween. This is the homemade apple cider that I make in my closet at home.
There we go.
Not bad, huh?
Not bad at all. Got a little bit of a bite to it. Oh yeah, it's good. I like it. Very smooth.
I only brought a couple because you can't drink them quick. That's apple wine. It'll get up on you. But, so we're going to just continue the conversation. We released the first episode and we got a couple, you know, got some pretty good feedback. And, so we're just going to continue on. So today would be Thursday. Halloween was Monday. So, we were going to hang out, but ended up not being able to. How was Halloween? What'd you end up doing?
Halloween was good. Did the usual. Put my costume together very last minute because I was working all day, and it got to the point it was 5 o'clock and I was outside with a machete hacking at a shirt trying to make the costume of a beat up zookeeper. But everything went well. Costume came out great. My daughter's drop bear costume was exactly what she wanted. So I had a good night trick or treating. Enjoyed walking up to houses with people initially seeing my daughter's silhouette and saying, "Oh, look how cute," and then her walking up with blood covering in front of her face and going down her chest. And
well, now that
changed quick.
Now that Halloween's over and you're not spoiling anything, tell the great listeners what's a drop bear.
A drop bear is kind of like the Australian version of the chupacabra. Okay. It is a killer koala with fangs that is a meat eater, and they call them drop bears because they say they drop from the trees on top of tourists and just start cutting them in the head and the neck till they're dead. They have about 1-inch fangs, and they're pretty creepy.
I don't know about you, but I grew up down here. I know a lot of people who swear to God that the chupacabra's real.
I mean, some of the things people think are real go way beyond that, man.
Well, no, I mean, I can't tell you. Like, I couldn't say for sure that I actually believe in the chupacabra, but I can certainly say I can't say for sure that I don't believe in the chupacabra, because I know some people that swear by it.
So. Oh yeah, they definitely, man.
So right on, man. I love trick or treating.
Oh, it's a blast. And like I said, we same neighborhood we've been trick or treating at since my son was 2 years old, and he's now 17. So know all the neighbors. You know, it's one lady I spoke to. She's been having the exact same pop-up animated black cat on the table when she's giving out candy for 12 years now.
Nice.
And it still works and everything. It's trick-or-treating is a blast. I love doing it every year. I hope my daughter doesn't grow out of it too soon. So
she'll get out of it for a while, she'll get back into it, and then carry on the legacy.
Oh yeah, there are plenty of high schoolers to sell out there, that's for sure.
Oh yeah. Well, it's becoming more and more of an adult holiday.
Right. Well, the high schoolers were the only ones that recognized the drop bear and realized what she was. So
well, and we did our house party on Saturday, before Halloween, and turned out really well. We actually got a little bit scared. We had set, you know, we sent out our Facebook invites, and we got, you know, the usual suspects. We got the usual declines, the usual suspects, and we thought it was going to be around the same. So we were sitting on Facebook about somewhere between like 12 and 15 people saying they're coming. Which is cool, except for then you realize that that's plus their spouse,
right,
and or their children. So that, you know, brings that up to a good-sized party for our house.
And a lot of cars down the street, too.
Right. A lot of people from the neighborhood said they wanted to come. Well, then that last week before Halloween, those, 12 to 15 creeped up to like 30. And with all the same statistics around it, so my wife and I were kind of flipping out, like, "Oh no, what are we gonna do? You know, like, how are we gonna deal with this?" And we just braced for the storm, and turned out, thank God, a lot of people just didn't either show up or cancel the last minute, decided not to bring their kids, whatever. So it turned out we had like the perfect amount of people. Everybody had a good time. I was able to walk around and be a proper host. You know, everybody had costumes on, so it was a good, old-fashioned, you know, neighborhood Halloween party.
That is awesome. Actually, you know, I wasn't going to go because I was supposed to be in San Antonio for Alamo City Comic Con, and then I had to cancel that because I had so much work to do. And I had actually put a costume together. I was going to show up and see if you realize who the hell I was, because I was going to do... Actually, I had the sack and everything ready. I was going to do Potato Sack Jason from Friday the 13th Part 2.
Nice.
I had my full-size pitchfork ready, and I realized I had way too much work to do. There was no way I could leave the house, so...
Well, speaking of being creepy... showing up and wondering if people... We actually had a couple party crashers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like this older couple. I don't know if they had actually gone to or if they just knew about it. We've got two houses down the street that are for sale right across the street from each other. One of them had an open house. So this couple, you know, like they're maybe mid-50s, shows up.
Showed up for snacks.
Showed up at the party, and they're like, oh, well, yeah, we're buying the house down the street. And... we just saw, you know, we came back by to look at the, you know, at the neighborhood again and saw this was going on, figured we'd stop by and say hi.
That's cool.
That was cool, except it was a full-on bullshit.
You know, I've always thought, though...
My sister, luckily, was not very trusting, so she stayed on them and kind of just, like, motion, you know, it's like, yeah, you're welcome to have a snack and a drink and, you know, chat and talk. We're not letting you in the back rooms. You know, so,
yeah. Near the jewelry boxes.
So, you know, then my wife checked online and nobody's putting any offers in or anything. So.
But, you know, to what they were saying, their excuse, though, I've always recommended to people, if you're looking at a house and you want to buy a house, go to the neighborhood at night, too, to see what goes on. Once people get off of work and you see all the people there, just see how the neighborhood is.
They're playing, throwing frisbees and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, the party was great, and then the Monday, you know, Halloween, threw the kids back in the costumes and hit the streets. I stayed home and passed out candy. Wife took the kids in the wagon. They went out and got candy. You know, pretty mellow night.
Cool.
They came back with a pretty good haul. It was, you know...
Exactly what it should be.
Exactly what it should be. So, we got way too many sweets, way too much candy. My God, my outside garage fridge is so full of beer that I can't get the cooler beer out. So
to keep it on ice.
To keep it, yeah. So it's a good problem to have, you know, no problem. Yeah. So I brought these over so we can make some room.
We'll take care. We'll put a dent in it a little bit.
So we talked about some movies and stuff last time. And, you know, we kind of ran out of time talking about, so we were going to just continue on our little rant here about movies. So I can honestly say I haven't had 5 minutes to rub together. I haven't seen anything since last time we chatted, except for one episode of The Walking Dead, and I actually might have seen that before we met last time.
I watched a few. Normally when I'm working, I put a movie on in the background, so I watched Child's Play. Over the weekend, I watched Child's Play, I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and I watched Maximum Overdrive yesterday, which is always a classic one to go ahead and take in, just to relive that cheesy Stephen King era where he was making people under the stairs and a few other movies like that. That
you know, really cool. Stephen King says he has no memory of making that movie. Like, it's not in his head.
He went under the stairs.
No, oh, Maximum Overdrive.
Yes. Well, you know, there were two movies based on that same book. Mm. Have you ever seen the first one? I haven't.
I haven't.
Okay. I've never had. It's called Thunder Road or something like that. But it's supposed to be the original one based off of the same book. It just didn't get much play.
Yeah, I don't... I remember Maximum Overdrive. At the time when it came out, I read a lot of Stephen King. And I think the title of the actual short story was Trucks.
Yes. Yeah, and, yeah, it sure was.
It was a very short, you know, it was a short story, so, I mean, it was kind of, it was loosely based, but in order to make, like, a hour and a half long movie, they added quite a bit. So, you know, same thing with, like, The Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
You know, Shawshank.
It was a novella. It wasn't supposed to be a full movie.
Shawshank wasn't even really a novella. It's just a really short story.
But that was in different seasons, right? It was the four stories in one book.
Yeah.
It was different seasons, I think.
That was different seasons. Yep. I don't know if Trucks was in different seasons.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
There was the App Pupil, there was Stand By Me, Shawshank Redemption, and there was, I can't remember the fourth one, but it wasn't.
It was Roadwork and Rage.
Yes, yeah.
and new editions of different seasons don't have Rage in it anymore.
Okay.
So.
But it's a great book, though. Reading that book and compared to the movie sucks compared to the story, because you get the detail. Stephen King does an excellent job of immersing you and putting you where the story takes place. Which one is it that has a whole bunch of short stories? Is it Skeleton Key?
There's Skeleton Crew, and Night Shift.
That one has one story in it where it's about a guy who gets trapped on a desert island by himself, and he's a surgeon who happens to he lost his practice. He's in terrible debt, so he decides to try to run heroin, and his plane crashes, and he ends up on this desert island, just him and 20 pounds of heroin. And he gets to the point where he has to eat, so he uses the heroin as a way to numb himself, to cut off parts of his body to eat.
I remember reading the
story is so vivid and actually puts you where the stuff is happening. I love that story. It's a really, really good one.
There was another one. It might have been the same collection. Do you remember one called The Long Walk?
Yes, yeah.
That one haunted me because I was the same age as the characters whenever it came out. And that's about the one where they have... It's kind of like Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like... There's a national draft, and they draft like 100 boys or more. And it's completely random. So some kids are healthy, and some are not. And some are fat, and some are thin. And it's not really a fair competition.
Right.
But essentially what they do is they start them walking, and they have to walk. And they have to keep a pace of 4 miles an hour. And there's like a ATV driving behind them, like an armored vehicle driving mm-hmm. behind them. And if they drop behind the four miles per hour, they get a warning, so they can step it up. If they fall back either too many times or for too long, they get shot in the head. And they just walk until one person is left. And there's no stopping. And it's kind of like Hunger Games, where there's sponsors. Like there's people that could... give you food or water, but they don't give it to you, so you could literally just walk yourself to death dying of starvation unless you have like a sponsor or friends that'll pass it to you. It just blows your mind. So like, and there's one, and it's like whenever I was like 13 years old and I'm sitting reading this, so you know, horny teenage boys or whatever, there's a scene where this like cheerleader girl, like the slutty cheerleader girl, runs out and latches onto one of the boys, and he's going to use one of his hourly fallbacks. She wants to make out. Well, she gets him all hot and heavy and kind of dry humps him, and then just like bumps off of him, leaves him with blue balls. So he cramps up later and falls and ends up getting killed. And it turns out that she was the sister of one of the other walkers. It's like strategy.
Trying to help her brother out. Wow.
Like,
man.
Dude.
It's cold. It's very cold. Man,
it's freaking mean. And he's like, "Wait, come back!"
But you're talking about the sponsors providing food and water. I was picturing Conan when he was walking in circles for 20 years of his life, and he all of a sudden apparently somebody was bringing him 3,000 calories of weight gain every day.
Right, exactly. And he came from Austria.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I didn't really get a chance. I mean, you let me borrow that one movie. I fully plan on watching it. And I think we really need to do a deep dive analysis of Season of the Witch. We talked about that last time. I'm going to actually probably try to hit up Half Price tomorrow and buy it, because it wasn't on any of the subscribe services. But I've heard that discussed. Since you and I talked about it, I've heard it discussed at least 5 other times in different forums of how underratedly wonderful it is. And like, you know, I barely have any memory of that movie. Like, I remember it,
right?
But I don't, like, and...
Well, you know, it's interesting you brought up the movie that I loaned you, the Frankenstein. For you guys out there, there was a modern-day version of Frankenstein made last year in 2015 that I had never heard of before, and somebody brought it to my house. And I looked at it initially and thought, what is this crap? You know, I've never heard of this movie. I don't know if I want to watch it. Then I noticed that Screen Magazine gave it 5 out of 5, so I said, let's go ahead and check it out. Excellent, very well written movie. The plot was real good. I like the way the story evolved. It told the story of Frankenstein from the perspective of the monster himself. The one thing about the movie that was interesting is the person that brought it did not want to finish watching it because the amount of gore and blood and just, you know, unnecessary cutting and stuff like that, which you know, just to bring up, we mentioned the group's Nerds of Anarchy before, a Facebook group that we belong to that is primarily local here in Houston, but it does have a national following also. We look for them on Facebook, Nerds of Anarchy. Tony, one of the members on there, he had posed a little subject to us, you know, what's the relevancy of gore versus terror versus, you know, just straight up trying to scare you?
And I think his exact question was, is gore enough to be scary? Like, what do we think about using gore as a stand-in for scary? So is it scary just by being gory or something of that nature? And we were, strangely enough, going to talk about that very thing. So we figured, hey, we could give Tony a shout out, we could hash out the whole fear versus gore thing and roll with it,
right?
So that being said, one thing I got a chance to watch was the season premiere of The Walking Dead. Now, to be fair, it's been 2 weeks out, so there's the potential for spoilers. I'm not going to give you any, except to say that a new kick-ass character beats two of the main characters to death, bashes their heads in with a bat wrapped in barbed wire. And the way that it is filmed, you see and hear and feel every strike until there is viscera dripping off the bat. And it is extremely brutal. Extremely controversial. Very, very gory. And quite shocking, actually, which is strange for a show like that.
Right. That the mainstream audience
specializes in shock, actually. They're like, they've done so many shocking things, like, whoa. So, and I don't know if Tony's question was inspired by that particular or just kind of a trend in horror or whatever, but I don't know. What's your thoughts on it?
Gore is the easy way to go ahead and get shock and try to evolve into that horror genre. To me, real terror and something that frightens you is very cerebral. And I'll give you a perfect example, and don't ask you why. To this day, I watched it 3 days ago, Poltergeist. To this day, the scene in the kitchen where the little girl comes up behind her mom and scares the hell out of her makes me jump every time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the way the it was filmed. You can't see the girl in the scene when she's there, and she reaches out to grab her mom. Her hand comes up in the shot, and that's it. And that scares the hell out of me. There's no violence in it. There's no gore. I jump every time I see that scene.
The clown scene in Poltergeist. There's no blood. There's no gore.
It's the one clown that I've always been frightened of.
It's just a little doll. Mm-hmm. And he's not. I mean, he's not particularly scary in the daylight.
Right.
I mean, he's only scary whenever he comes alive in your room and starts trying to choke you.
And shadows are there. Yeah.
But you know, the last week or so, I've been thinking about it, and you know, I got two examples. I mean, really, you look at like the first Halloween, which is really, I'm not going to say it's so far, it's the first modern slasher.
Yes.
Okay, Psycho probably takes that, but Psycho, there's only one actual murder in it, and it's at the very end.
Yeah.
So, and, I mean, the rest of it's suspenseful and stuff.
Hitchcock was a different type of horror altogether.
But the idea of like a slasher horror where it's kind of just exploitive and in your face and you know, there's just a killer on the road. The first Halloween is terrifying. It's frightening.
Yeah.
And it is, there's barely any blood in it.
Right.
It's all implied. And it's all what's lying in the shadows and jump scares and, you know. The remake of Halloween by Rob Zombie is 10 times gorier.
Yes.
And nowhere near as scary. Because they go so far as to explain the history and, you know, try to build Michael Myers as a sympathetic character and this and that. And by the time you get to him actually going on his rampage, you're kind of lost. The fear factor is gone.
Right.
It's not a force of nature. It's not a shark. It's a mad dog or something. You know, it's like, it could be friendly, but it just had a bad day. And Michael Myers was never that way.
Yeah, and that just goes to show you, you know, there's two. And don't I love Rob Zombie's movies.
So the gore did not enhance the fright
right
at all.
It took away from it, if anything.
Yeah, well, the extending of the story took away from the fright. The gore didn't put it back.
Right.
Is my thought. And I was thinking, you know, on the flip side, another classic movie that is just... It cannot be better than it was Hellraiser. And that's gory as can be. You couldn't remove the gore and really improve it.
Right.
But the gore is a tool
in the storytelling.
Yeah. And ironically, it was George Lucas made the statement. It was on the if you got the VHS's, not the special edition VHS, but the VHS of the original theatrical release, they are advertising like a making of Star Wars documentary, and it's like a little cutscene, and he says, you know, a special effect without a story is really a boring thing. The story is what matters, and the special effects...
That's an excellent statement.
Yeah, but it's George Lucas that made it, so then he turned around and made all the prequel movies that have no story and nothing but special effects.
And the remakes that he just enhanced with just special effects and added nothing to it.
Right. But truth is truth, even if a liar says it, so, you know, whatever. But Hellraiser has to be gory.
Yes.
It's
part of the story.
It's part of what it is. A slasher movie doesn't need all the blood and guts. It can go. And as if you watch like a Friday the 13th, at the beginning, the first one, pretty gory. I mean, there's some clever kills and some blood and some viscera in there. It steadily ramps up the gore throughout the series, but it also loses story through the series. It's less scary.
Right.
So I don't really think it is necessary. It's certainly not a replacement for suspense.
Right. But, you know, the thing about this Rob Zombie style, I love Rob Zombie's movies too. But to me, there's two different types of horror movies. There's gory, and then there's cerebral terror.
Right.
You know, something just frightens. There's plenty of horror movies out there that scare the hell out of me that have no blood in them. You know, it's just, it can get to you in a way that it hits those parts in your brain that just frightens you.
Well, too, yeah. I mean, for me, the thing that what makes something scary, and again, it's very subjective, so it's kind of like liking two bands that sound alike and loving one and hating the other just because the vocalist.
Right.
Like, just an example, like, there's an artist like Lana Del Rey. Her first album is wonderful. Love it. Her second and third album are probably pretty good, too. I just haven't heard them. There's a band called Portishead.
Yeah, I know Portishead.
You know Portishead. Portishead to me sounds like nails on a chalkboard.
Yep.
Lana Del Rey sounds just like Portishead, but I love it.
Right.
It's the singer. It's the vocals. It's the way the singer
sings.
It makes
a difference.
It makes a difference. But they're so similar, but I went back, I was like, man, let me revisit Portishead and see if I was just wrong. No, I'm not wrong.
Still don't like it.
Sucks. You know? It's subjective. Things that scare one person don't scare another.
Right.
You know, some of my favorite horror movies have no blood in them, or a little bit of blood. Jaws.
Terrifying movie.
And a lot of that wasn't, he wanted to put the shark in there, they just couldn't. It wouldn't work, so they had to figure out a way around it, and they made one of the most frightening movies ever made.
They filmed one of the biggest scenes in a swimming pool.
Right.
You know?
You know, the original Halloween, hardly any blood at all.
Right.
The Shining.
Barely. Shining is an excellent
example. No blood.
Christine.
Mm-hmm. And then you think about, like, one of the things that is the scariest about Halloween is not Michael himself killing people. It's the little kid looking across the street, and what is behind those doors.
Yeah.
That's going on. He's killed all those people, he's gathered them up, and he's staging them in the little kid's house across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Little kid believes in the boogeyman. She's telling him to shut up and go to bed or watch the movie and be quiet. He knows something bad's going on. Once those doors are opened, it can be as gory as it needs to be because that is what is scary.
Yeah, yeah. That
to me is what is scary, is what's behind that door.
Yeah.
And so you can gore it up, and that's a great storytelling piece.
Right.
You could leave it the way they did it, where things just kind of fall out of closets. It's just as effective.
Right.
But, you know, budgets are what they are.
And they're look at The Simplicity of Paranormal Activity, the first one. You know.
Oh yeah.
It there's no gore in there at all, but it'll scare the hell out of you.
Yeah, it, I love that original ending.
Yes. Yeah, it was totally unexpected. You know, I was not thinking that was going to happen at the end. And there's, you can't help but jump. No matter how many times you've seen it, you cannot help but jump whenever that scene comes on.
Well, I hope that answered your question, or at least woke it up for discussion. You know, we're hitting about the end of our line. We're both busy, busy, busy scary dads. Have kids that want to be fed. I don't know. I fed them this morning. I don't know why they need to eat again. But, you know, people look at me funny when I make that joke. It's true, though. What the hell? But, hey, you know, feel free to discuss. Hop in. Find us on Nerds of Anarchy. Find us on the Facebook, Scary Dad Facebook webpage. Find us on thescarydad.com. Scary Dad has Twitter. Look on the site. Find the buttons.
Right.
I am going to revamp the site pretty soon. As soon as I get, again, just a few minutes to rub together and I can sit down and re-theme it and kind of rehash some of the social media. It's all a work in progress. To be fair, though, we need to get like 5 or 6 continuous episodes before we can post, like, link up onto like an iTunes or something.
Right.
So I'm going to try to get that taken care of before I do a whole lot of site revamps, so that whenever it's all kind of comes together, so I don't have to like code anything strangely in order to make this all work. So, but just look for us, find us, we're there, we're not hiding.
Send us your questions, your topics, stuff you want to hear about, stuff you want to hear us discuss, opinions, just throw them our way. We welcome it all. Find us, look for scarydad.com, and you can find a way to contact us.
Yeah, and you know, for what it's worth, agree with us, that's great. Disagree with us, we'll probably respond. So make it work, man. Keep it scary in the meantime. Take care.
Peace.